Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Lamed Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief, formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 11 lines from the top with a quote from the Mishnah, V'ho'edim choismin al haget mitnei tikun ha'olam. The witnesses sign the get, the divorce document, as a result to literally to improve the world. It is for the individual's betterment, for their benefit, to have signatures appearing on the get. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading, the Nosei being the topic heading and Mivneh structural note, which we combine into one. You see a diamond. The diamonds in this instance represent two tirutzim, two answers, l'she'ela, to a question. Which question? Eich katoni do'edim choismin mipnei tikun ha'olam im kosuv b'kro d'choismin. How could it be that the Mishnah would describe the signing of the witnesses on the get as a result for betterment, an enactment that helps people, when it's a core requirement from the Torah, something that is basic mitzvah material? You wouldn't describe as tikkun ha'olam, as something for the improvement and betterment of the world. So that is our question. Why does the Mishnah describe the signing of witnesses as tikkun ha'olam? Before we go into the Gemara, there's a Rashi I would like to look at. It says, mipnei tikkun ha'olam. You can see on the Rashi, just a few lines down from here, Shemeachar Shiisparshu Shmoisom, once the names appear in the get, Yachsu Achar Yoidehem Umakireim Lohoid Al Ksav Yodom. People will seek them out, the people that signed, and they will be able to testify regarding the authenticity of the signatures. Now the Gemara. Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. The Gemara opens up with a statement made in a tone of wonderment. Do you say that it's for us, for improvement, for betterment? There is another Rashi that we should read before we go any further, and that's found on the fourth narrow line. Mipnei tikkun ha'olam. Dilmo maisi eidei mesira. The witnesses that are there that see the handing over of the get in front of the witnesses. The witnesses that see the handing over of the get from the husband to the wife might die. Uma'ar ba loymarin, the husband will come along at some point saying, Lo girashtia, I didn't divorce her. So with signatures appearing in the get, the husband won't be able to make that claim when the woman is holding a signed get. So the Mishnah claims that the signing of the witnesses is to preempt a situation of a husband challenging the divorce in the event that the witnesses that saw the actual divorce take place die. So the Gemara's question is, why do you describe the Eidim signing as Tikkun Ha'olam de'oraisahu? It's a Torah requirement. Dichtiv. Here you have a pasuk from the prophets that refers to the writing of a document and the signing therein. So it's not a tikkun olam, it's a scriptural based requirement. Omar Rabba lo tzricha elo l'Rebbe Elazar. The Mishnah that describes the signing of the witnesses in the get as a tikkun olam is an apt description according to Rebbe Lozer. The Omar Eide Mesira Karsi. Rebbe Lozer holds that the instrument or the element that establishes a get as being binding is the fact that witnesses that saw the handing over were present. That's Edei Mesira Karsi. Karsi literally means they make the break. It's in, because they're present, so the divorce becomes a legal divorce. So according to Rabbi Elazar that said Edei Mesira Karsi, Takinu Rabbanan Edei Chasimo Mibnei Tikkun HaOlam. The rabbis established that witnesses should sign the document for the sake of their benefit. What's the benefit? The Zimnin de Maisi Sadi, as we saw before in the Rashi, of course Rashi took it from here, the witnesses might die, Inami Zimnin de Azli Limidia Sayam, or the witnesses that saw the handing over of the get might go abroad, and the Pasuk that we saw before is essentially an Eitza Toiva, a good piece of good advice. Have witnesses signing as well. Rabbi Yosef Omar, Afilu Teimo de Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosef says that the Mishnah that describes the witnesses as signing as Tikkun Olam could be understood even according to Rabbi Meir. Now, Rabbi Meir is the opinion that says that it's the witnesses that sign the get that make it into a get. In other words, when the Torah says the Kosav law sefer krisus, and the husband shall write for her a divorce document, according to Rabbi Meir, that is a reference to the signing within the document. Rav Yosef says that the Mishnah that describes the signing as tikkun olam and is not, as if it sounds it's not a core requirement, could be understood even according to Rabbi Meir. Hiskinu shiye edim meforshim shmoseim begitin mitnei tikkun olam. The tikkun olam aspect of the get signing, if you are going to approach this through the opinion of Rabbi Meir, is a reference not to the fact that a get is signed. The fact that a get is signed is something that is scripturally required. What's the tikkun olam? The tikkun olam is that they spell out their names. Kedisanya. And that will be understood as we go through the following source. Borishoino Hoyokoisev, originally, before the Rabbonon made a takona, before they made instituted a law, what was the original practice? The witnesses would write at the bottom of the get, Ani Ploni Chosamti Eid. I want to point out that there's a girsa in the Ritva, one of the Rishonim, that has here in the text, Ani Eid V'chosamti Eid. Someone writes, I am the witness and I'm signing as a witness. No name. So when the Gemara here says, Ani Ploni, Ploni usually it's like imagine a blank that you have to fill in. I so-and-so. So by reading Ploni, you might think that it's a reference to someone writing their name in, but that's not the pshat that we're using. The pshat, the explanation we're understanding here is like the girsa of the Ritva. Someone writes, I, no name, I sign on as a witness. Well, how can you establish if that's an authentic signature? Well, you have to do signature comparison, or let's say a writing analysis. Im ksav yodo yoytzi mimokam acher kosher. If that handwriting appears on another document that was processed through the courts and found to be kosher, legitimate, and that is similar to what we see here in the get, where someone wrote Ani Chosamti Eid, then the get is kosher because I'm able to compare it to another to handwriting that appears at the bottom of another document that passed the court test. The imlav, if we can't find any handwriting that looks like this puzzle, then the get cannot be accepted as kosher. Omar Rabban Gamliel, Takona Gedola Hiskinu, a great innovation was made. That the names should be spelled out explicitly for the benefit of the public. What used to be and what is the result of the takona? So to appreciate this more, we look at the Rashi. Rashi that we're looking at It's in the upper part of the narrow lines. Kidisani v'chulim. Hoyok sav yodo yotzim imokam acher kosher. There was no name, we mentioned, originally. Originally, someone would just write at the bottom, I am hereby a witness. Since no name was spelled out explicitly, it was very difficult to seek out witnesses who would recognize this handwriting and be able to testify, yeah, this is so-and-so's handwriting, because there was no name to go on. What they would have to do is go through a handwriting analysis by processing or by analyzing all kinds of documents to find signatures or handwriting that looked like the one in this get. And those other documents were established as legitimate in court through the testimony of those that actually signed those other documents. As the Gemara in Maseches Ksubos says, that you don't establish the authenticity of a shtar other than through comparing it to another shtar, another document that withstood a challenge and was authenticated in a court. So that was the old way. No actual name was spelled out, and it was a real hassle to verify the signing in the get, which required scanning, analyzing all other other documents to find a similar signing. Rashi goes on, Shemeachar Shiyisparshu Shmoisam, now that the names were spelled out, Yachsu Achar Yoideim Umakireim, when I see a document signed with a name in it, I can then seek out people who know these people. And Lahoyid Al Ksav Yodom, who would then be able to testify, yeah, that's so and so, I know that's how so and so signs his name. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, you're telling me that the takona, the innovation, was to have names appearing in an explicit fashion. Names and not something else? So we have a subtopic heading on the side, Chasimo Ayidei Simen, B'mokem Chasim Hashem. We're going to see an example of the signing of a document through a method other than spelling out a name. The Gemara asks, "Ubesimon alo," and with some kind of simen, a sign, wouldn't be acceptable. What do we mean by a sign? Here we'll have a couple examples. V'hol Rav Tzair Kavro. Rav, when he signed documents, he would draw a little fish. When people would see a fish at the bottom of the document, they know, oh, that's Rav. And Rav Chanina Tzair Charusa, Rav Chanina would draw a palm branch, and that represented his signature. Rav Chisda Samach, he would just write the letter Samach. From his name Chisda, you could see the Samach is a prominent letter in his name. And Rav Hoshaya Aryan, Rav Hoshaya would sign a document just by putting in the letter Aryan. Rabo Ba Rav Huna Tzair Makusa. And Rabba would sign documents by drawing a sail of a ship. So we see that signatures can appear even if it's not an actual name spelled out, but rather some kind of sign. The Gemara answers, Shiny Rabbonon, the case of these rabbis that we enumerated is different, the Bekiyin Simenayu. Their method of signing is very well known. Therefore, if you see a fish at the bottom of a document, you know that the only one that would have done that is Rav. It was very well known that's how Rav signs his documents. The Gemara says, Me'ikora b'may afkinu. These rabbis whose signing became famous through their respective pictures, how did they become well known at the outset? After all, that wasn't the way people would sign things. People would spell out their names in formal documents or write their handwriting, but we have to figure how would the fish have become known to be Rav's method of signing things. The Gemara answers, Bediski. Diski are not formal documents. Bediski, Rashi says, Shtore Sheilos Uchuvos Ushlomos. These are letters, like we have what we call responsa literature, Sheilos Uchuvos, where questions are posed. Questions were sent into Rav. He would answer the question with a letter, and at the bottom, a fish would appear, and people understood. That's Rav's way of signing. It became well known that that's how Rav signs documents. Hillel Hiskin Prusbul v'chule. Hillel established the Prusbul. On the side, we have a very brief topic heading, the Nosam. We also indicate this is a long topic. It goes to Daf Lamed Zayin Omid Beis. Prusbul. Sometimes you can see it's spelt with a samach, sometimes it's with a zayin. We'll see later, the Gemara wants to know what is the meaning of the word prusbul. It's not a, we'll say it's certainly not a standard Hebrew expression. We've explained previously that the prusbul was a method of enabling people who extended loans to collect their loans, collect the debts owed to them, even though the Shemitah year passed, the sabbatical year passed. According to the Torah, the sabbatical year, once every 7 years, when that sabbatical year passes by, people's loans are canceled. And that could, of course, lead to a situation where people would hesitate extending loans as the Shemitah year approached, or certainly as its end approached, and people would be left without the availability of loans, and that could create a lot of public difficulty. So Hillel instituted the Prusbul. How in the world does the Prusbul work? According to the explanation I just gave, it sounds as if, and we're going to set the record straight later, but it sounds as if the Torah says one thing and Hillel comes along and establishes the antithesis of the Torah. That obviously would be a big problem. So let's go into the Gemara to appreciate what actually is happening here. Tanan Hossam. Prusbul Eino Mishame. That means that if someone prepares a Prusbul document, if a Malva, someone who loaned money, prepares a Prusbul document, so the loans will not be canceled by the passage of the Shemitah year. Ze Echod Min Advarim Shizkin Hillel Azoki. This is one of the innovations that Hillel the Elder established. Shero'o Esom, he noticed the public, Sheninu Milahalvi Zezeh, they were resisting, hesitating to extend loans one to the other, as we explained, for fear of the Shemitah year passage canceling their loans. And if a person does not extend a loan when it is requested, and of course he has the ability to extend the loan, the Avru al-Mashikosu b'Torah, that itself is sinful. The Torah says, Hishomer l'chapen ye dovor im levavcha b'liyal. And the pasuk goes on to say, we've concluded this on the side of the Gemara, a person is warned not to have the following thoughts in his mind, Lamor saying, Korvu Shnas HaSheva, Shnas HaShemitah, I'm reading from the side of the Gemara, the Shemitah year is approaching, that is the end of the Shemitah year is approaching, you become miserly or stingy with regard to your friend who Evyon, who is impoverished, v'lo titein lo, and you will not give him v'korolecho el Hashem, and he, the poor man who needs the loan, will call out to Hashem v'hoi b'chochet, and this will be considered your sin. So what's so we have a big problem. We have people who are refusing to extend loans because of the fear of not getting paid back as a result of the Shemitah canceling the loan. So Omad Vehiskin Prusbul, Hillel arose and he established the Prusbul. Vezehu Gufo Shel Prusbul. The following is the essence of the Prusbul, the heart of the Prusbul. The Prusbul, once again, is a document that a malva, that a creditor would write up. And it would say as follows: Mosrani lochem ploni uploni dayonim shebemokom ploni. I am giving to you the judges, to the court, shekol choiv sheyesh li etzel ploni, that all debts that I have to buy so and so that he owes me, sheegvenu kozman sheerze, that as a result of my entrusting the court with the with my debts, that will enable me to collect them whenever I want. So that a person, in collecting his debts after handing his debts over to the court, is in effect acting, we'll say, as an arm of the court. V'adayonim choismin lemata oyo edim, and the judges or witnesses sign at the bottom. The Rashi says, a little more than halfway down, Bosrani lochem es shtorosai, I am giving over to you my bills of collection, sha'atem tu nogsim, that you will be the collectors, vani lo egos, I won't be the collector. In other words, when I knock on the debtor's door and expect him to pay me, I'm not the one, it's really you, the court. Later, the Gemara will show us how the rabbis have the power to do this, to, say, redirect ownership of money. Now, the Gemara continues with raising the questions that we raised earlier. Umi iko midi did midoraisa mishamto shvias vihiskin hilo the lo mishamto. Could it be that on the Torah level, the loan mishamto shvias means that shvias, the sabbatical year, the passage of the sabbatical year, will cancel the loan, and hilo will arise and institute that the Shemitah year will not cancel the loan? In other words, this rabbi, as great as he may be, he can't legislate something against the Torah. The Torah says Shvius cancels loans, and here this great rabbi comes and neutralizes Shvius. Omar Abaye, B'Shvius Bizman Hazeh VeRebihi. Abaye tells us that Hillel's takona was with regard to Shvius nowadays. Bizman Hazeh is a reference to a time in history when the laws of Shemitah were no longer binding on a Torah level. In order for the laws of Shemitah to be binding on a Torah level, the laws of Yovel would have to be binding. Then Yovel is a reference to the Jubilee year. Maybe you're familiar with the every 50 years, according to the Jubilee cycle, lands that were purchased by purchasers would return the lands to the original owners. Slaves that were enslaved, Jewish slaves, that is, that were enslaved, would go free. That those are a couple of the halachas that are associated with the Yovel year. So when the Jubilee cycle is in practice, so the laws of Shvius are in practice. When the Jubilee cycle is not in practice, and you'll ask, well, how could that be? Because, and this is also based on Psukim in the Torah, when the Jewish people as an entirety, the entire, all 12 tribes are located, are situated within Eretz Yisrael, so then the laws of Yovel apply. When all 12 tribes are not present in Eretz Yisrael, so then the laws of Yovel do not apply. And nowadays, we don't have the situation. This situation actually goes back to the Second Temple period, in which Hillel himself lived. The laws of Yovel were no longer binding. The laws of Shemitah are no longer binding on a Torah level. On a rabbinic level, so we have the laws of Shemitah. But since it's rabbinic, the rabbis can make the rules, and the rabbis can tell you when their rules apply. If you want to say it in a simplistic form, you say the rabbis can make the rules and the rabbis can break the rules. But we mean break their own rules, the rules that they made. That's not sophisticated, but more sophisticated would be the rabbis can say when their laws apply. They're the ones that are making it, aren't they? So the rabbis said, even though we don't have Yovel, which means that even though there's no Torah-mandated Shemitah, we want people to observe Shemitah, including that is the idea of loans being canceled. But that's only rabbinic. So the rabbis can say when the Shemitah will work, and the rabbis can also say when the Shemitah can be overruled, neutralized, and that's through the Prusbel. This whole analysis is in accordance with Rebbe, who says that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is derabbanan, is rabbinic. Desanya, and that's taught in the following source. Note that we have a long answer marking taking you to the upper part of Omid Beis. Desanya, Rebbe Oimer, v'zeh dvar ha-shemitah shamot. This is a quote from the Pasuk, and you see the word shemitah shamot, a double expression. B'shtei shemitah ha-kosev medaber. The Torah is referring to two shemitahs. Achas shemitahs karka, one is the cessation of agricultural activity, v'achas shemitahs ksofim, and the other is the releasing, the cessation of loan collection. Literally, shemitahs ksofim, literally the stopping of monies, but as we explain. And this double reference tells me as follows: Bizman shat mishamid karka to mishamid ksofim. When the laws of shmitas karka apply, so the laws of shmitas ksofim apply. Bizman shiato mishamid karka, yato mishamid ksofim. Meaning the times that you don't have shmitas karka, and that is bizman hazeh nowadays. Rashi says that the botla kedushas haaretz, the sanctity of the land on a Torah level is no longer. So, there's no more laws telling me that loans must be canceled. Therefore, on a strictly Torah level, nowadays, even though a Shemitah year goes by, a Malva is entitled to collect his debt. The Tokinu Rabbonon, the Tishamet, Zecher L'Shvius, and the rabbis said, even though the Malva has a right to collect, we don't want him to collect. We want Shemitah b'zman hazeh tishamet, means to stop the loan, to stop the collection. That's an early rabbinic takona. Later on, though, Roh Hillel Shenimnu Omi L'Halvay Zezeh, Hillel saw that people restrained themselves, withheld themselves from extending loans one to another. And why? Because of the earlier rabbinic ruling that Shemitah shall cancel the loans. So, Omad v'hiskin Prusbel, Hillel established Prusbel so as to enable Malvim to collect their loans. Basically, let's say, restoring the Malvim to a d'oraisa, a Torah level acceptable situation. The Gemara asks, "Umi iko midi d'midoraisa lo mishamta shvius?" Could there be that on the Torah shvius doesn't cancel loans? That means on a Torah level, as we explained before, nowadays on a Torah level, a malva is entitled to collect his money. V'tokinu rabbonon d'tishamet. Notice we have arrows to the side. The top line indicated that the rabbis instituted Shemitah as able to cancel loans nowadays. But how can that be? The Torah says that the malva, the creditor, is entitled to recover his money. The rabbis come along and say, you know, let the borrower keep the money that he really owes the creditor. Now, that's not nice. That's not right. That a borrower should have money that's not rightfully his. It's as if he's a thief, based with rabbinic approval. Omar Abaye, shave v'al ta'asehu. This is a case of in a manner of speaking, we'll elaborate on this by learning the Rashi shortly, but it's a case of, a violation, but in a passive fashion. It's true that a person has a mitzvah to pay back money that he owes. The rabbis have the power to institute legislation in, we'll say, in a passive violation sense. The famous example of that is the Torah tells you that on the first day of Sukkot, you have to take the lulav and esrog. You have to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. The rabbis come along and they tell me that because of the fear of someone carrying lulav and esrog on Shabbos from a private domain to a public domain, we prohibit you from doing the mitzvah. The Torah says, get up and do the mitzvah. That's a positive, proactive requirement. The rabbis say, shave, sit, don't do it. Same thing is happening over here. The loive has a mitzvah to pay back the loan. The rabbis have the power, and this is mentioned in Maseches Yevamos, to uproot a Torah requirement in a passive fashion. So if you're going to ask the question, how could it be that the Torah entitles a malva to collect his loans and the rabbis come and legislate that, well, rabbinically speaking, we want the laws of Shemitah to apply and therefore the malva won't collect his loan. Okay, he's losing out his money through the loave being passive and not fulfilling the mitzvah of paying back the loan, which is a mitzvah that one would have fulfilled in a proactive fashion. Rava is a second approach. How could the rabbis institute shvius, canceling loans rabbinically when the malva is entitled to collect his money? So Rava says, hefker bezin hoya hefker. Rashi, and here Rashi says, Rava Omar, the oilom bain the rabbonan de pligi arebi. Amri shvius lahashmotas milve bismanazed do raisa. The talking hill of the lo tishomate, bain le rebbe domer lav do raisa, vom rabbonan de tishomate, lo tikshi dover. This Rashi is an incredibly valuable Rashi in the sense that in the Gemara, you don't really see the difference between Abaye and Rava in this sense that Abaye is offering an explanation that fits in with Rebbe's approach. In other words, Rebbe says that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is a rabbinic phenomenon, and the question was. It's very nice that it's a rabbinic phenomenon, but how in the world do they have the power to prevent the malva from collecting? So Abaye explained, well, the rabbis were able to institute Shemitah Bizman Hazeh. And that point that the rabbis institute Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, that's an expression that conforms to Rebbe's approach to the entire matter. However, there's another Tanaic school of thought, and that is the school of the Rabbanan who argue with Rebbe. They hold that Shemitah nowadays and its power to cancel loans is a Torah power. It's a Torah law. In other words, it's not what we saw on the top line, first word on this page, V'talkinu Rabbona de Tishameh, but rather, Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, as far as canceling loans according to the Rabbonon, is a Torah-level reality. If it's a Torah-level reality, then the question becomes even more serious. The Torah is saying loans shall be canceled, and Hillel is saying loans are not going to be canceled through the Prusbel. How in the world could that be? So Rava offers the explanation. And that's what we saw in the Rashi, which we read quickly. Rava says that whether you learn, like the Rabbonan, that Shvius Bizman Hazeh, that Shvius nowadays operates in canceling loans on a Torah level. And Hillel's innovation was that the Shemitah will not stop the loans. Whether you hold like Rebbe that says that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is not a Torah reality, but rather the rabbis said that the Torah will, the rabbis said that Shemitah will stop the loans. There's no problem. How does the Prusbul work? So the Rashi goes on to say, the bedover shebemamon, the last one line in the Rashi, the bedover, I hope everyone sees it, the bedover shebemamon, ein kana kiros dover min haTorah, b'mokom siog v'geder. When it comes to monetary matters, you are not witnessing the uprooting of something from the Torah. When it comes to a matter of siog and geder, when a matter of protecting other laws. And why? That why is this not considered an uprooting of the Torah? The hefker bezdin b'momon hoya hefker. When it comes to money-related matters, the Torah grants the rabbis and the courts to declare the to declare money, which you think is owned by one party, is now in reality owned by someone else, so that you have a true, you have the Shemitah, let's say, according to the Rabbonon, that will cancel the loan on a Torah level. That means that the money that the Lova is holding on to is his to hold on to. It's his money. He doesn't have to pay back the loan. Comes along the rabbi, through the rabbis, the courts, through the power of this expression, Hefker Bezdin, what Bezdin declares unowned, Hoya Hefker, is binding. And he says, you know, the money that's in the possession of the borrower, we declare to be belonging to the lender. And that is how the lender, the creditor, is able to collect his loan. And now in the next couple of lines, we have a sources for this concept of Hefker Bezdin, that which the court declares unowned Hoya Hefker. And you see the house shape on the side of them under our Mivneh heading. These are Makoros, these are sources, Lehefker Bezdin Hoya Hefker, for this power that we've alluded to. The Gemara. The Omer of Yitzhok Minayin, Shehefker Bezdin Hoya Hefker. From where do we know that the rabbis and the courts are vested with this power of control over monetary matters? Shinema v'chol asher lo yovu shloshes hayomim katzas asorim vazakenim yoharam kol ruchusho v'hu yibodel mikahal hagoylo. This is a pasuk from Ezra, Perek Yud Pasuk Ches, and without getting involved with the literal translation, but you can see there's Ezra announced that anyone who doesn't come to the great assembly of that time, that his property will be declared not his. Yochoram kol ruchusho, all his property will be confiscated, and he will be separated from the community. For our purposes, we want to just emphasize that you have an illustration here of the rabbinic power to control ownership and declare unowned property that is currently held by so and so. Rebbe Lozar Omar Mehocha, second source. Eile hanecholois asher nichalu elozar akein v'yoshua binun v'roshe ha'ovois. The pasuk goes on to say, lematois b'nei Yisrael. The Gemara asks, v'chi ma inyin roshim eitzel ovois. The pasuk could have said, Roshe Hamatos. The Pasuk is describing the distribution, the dividing of the land amongst the different tribes. And it was conducted by the leaders of the time, Elozer, the Kohen Gadol, and Yoshua bin Nun, and the heads of the tribes. But the heads of the tribes, instead of describing them as Roshe Hamatos, which would have been the conventional description of heads of tribes, it doesn't say V'Roshe Hamatos, it says V'Roshe Ha'ovois, Limatos B'nei Yisrael. So the Gemara is asking why they will say an extra expression, V'Chima Inyin Roshim, Eitzel Ovos, Lo Marloch. This teaches us, Ma Ovos Manchilim Eitz B'neihem, Kol Mashiu. So just like a father can distribute his property amongst his children any way he sees fit, Af Roshim, so to the heads of the tribes, Manchilim Ha'om Kol Ma Shiutsu. They have the power to distribute property as they see fit. So you see rabbinic control over monetary matters. So even with Shemitah being as powerful as something that is, say, Torah ordained, the rabbis nevertheless can control and redirect monies as they see fit. And we explained before that the necessity of encouraging people to extend loans is a very great necessity, and people who don't extend loans are in violation of the Torah's expectation. So as Rashi said, when it comes to a matter of protecting laws and commandments in the Torah, the rabbis functioning in the monetary matters to protect those laws are licensed to do so. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei / Mivne heading. We'll see diamonds appearing with a double underline marking on the side. These are Nisyonis Lifshoy al Yedei Meimros Shmuel. These are attempts to answer through comments made by Shmuel Haim Yilel Tikein Prusbol Rak Ledora or Ledore Alma. When Hillel instituted the Prusbol. The Prusbol, once again, the ability to collect loans even though the Shemitah year passed, is that something that he instituted for his own generation or for future generations as well? The Gemara. Ibayaloho. Ki iskin Hillel Prusbol. By the way, note that this is a long question. And within part of this long question is a bracketed section. The question is, ki hiskin Hillel Prusbol, when Hillel instituted the Prusbol, the Dore, who did he talking, that he instituted for his generation, o Dilma Ledore Alma Nami talking, or did he instituted for future generations as well? If you skip the brackets momentarily, the next word you would see is my. So what is the din? Within the brackets, the Gemara explains what's the difference. What difference does it make whether it was a temporary type innovation or something for all generations? So now let's go over the brackets. Lamai nafgamina. What practical difference is there? Livtule, to cancel the Prusbol. E amris ledore hu detokin. If you say that Hillel instituted the Prusbol for his own generation. If after his generation people continued practicing that, so e amris ledore hu detokin, mivatlinon le. If he instituted for his own generation, then it could be rescinded in later generations. You wouldn't be tampering with something that a very great man and his court established, because he didn't establish it for future generations. So even if it would be continued practiced after Hillel's own generation, that's not by force of Hillel's ruling. Elo iyamris ledori almonami tokin, if Hillel's institution of the Prusbol was for future generations as well, then a later court would not be able to undo what Hillel did. Why not? The Gemara explains. Ha ein based in yochel avatel divrei based in chavero. A subsequent court cannot uproot, undo a ruling of a previous court. Elohim kein godol heimenu b'chochma uv'minyan, unless that later court is greater in wisdom and in numbers. There are other explanations to the word minyan, but without getting involved with that now, it's suffice it to say that as time goes on, you're not going to find courts that would parallel Hillel Hazokain, that would parallel that great man and his generation and his courts. So it's important for us to know what is the reality. The takon of Hillel, was it something that he made only for his generation? And if that be the case, so it could be undone later. And if you undo Prusbol, of course, that means that Malvim won't be able to collect their loans after Shemitah. If, however, it wasn't just for his generation, but Hillel instituted it for future generations, so it remains in force, and you can't undo that. My. So the question again is, what is the reality? Toshma, the Omar Shmuel, and we indicated before, these are attempts, the diamond introduces Toshma, attempts to resolve this issue through comments that Shmuel makes. Toshma v'yomar Shmuel, lo kasvinon pruzbul, elo ibeveidino de sura, ibeveidino de nahar de'o. The pruzbul cannot be prepared unless you go to a very significant court, like the court in Sura. Sura was the Torah Academy founded by Rav. Nahar Dor was a town in which there was a Torah Academy founded by Shmuel. So Shmuel tells us that you're not going to be able to write up a pruzbul document unless you go to a high-level court. If Hillel instituted a pruzbul as a practice for future generations as well, so b'shar beidino nami lichtavu, let it be written up in other courts as well. The Gemara, and now as a result of that not being the case, it seems that Pruzbul was established only for Hillel's generation. The Gemara rejects this proof. Dilma ki tokin Hillel l'dori alma kagon beidino didei. It could be that when Hillel established Pruzbul, in fact he did so for future generations, but it will have force only if it's prepared by a court like his own, in the sense that in Hillel's time, Hillel's court was the top court. In future generations, Churavami, Churavasi, Dalimi, Lafkui, Mamona, courts led by people in our time, when the Gemara was speaking, so Rabbi Ami and Ravasi were the leading figures of their time. Dalimi means they have the strength, Lafkui, Mamona, to uproot or to undo money ownership and redefine who the money is owned by. Aval the Kulei Almalo. But Hillel, even though he instituted Pruzbul for future generations, he didn't institute it as something that could be prepared by any common court. So we don't have a conclusive proof from Shmuel whether or not the Pruzbul was only for Hillel's generation or for future. Toshma, the Omar Shmuel, ha pruzbul ulbana de daini hu. The pruzbul is ulbana de daini. Rashi says ulba de daini hu lekamen meforish. Later, the Gemara will say loshen chutzpah shenaitlin momon shelo kadin bechazok. It's an act of chutzpah where the court is taking money from someone in an improper way, forcibly. That's how Shmuel describes the pruzbul. And Shmuel goes on to say, "Eisher chayil, if I had the strength of Delini, I would cancel the pruzbul." Rashi says, "Avtelini alma lavladori alma tokin dimkein hechi motzi Shmuel amemar avtelini." It must be that it wasn't established by Hillel for future generations. If it was established for future generations by Hillel, what's Shmuel saying here? I would cancel it. The Gemara elaborates on this and says, "Avtaline v'ha ein basin yochol levatel divrei basin chaver elim ken gadol haymenu b'chokhmu v'minyan." How can Shmuel even entertain the idea of canceling it when the law is that a basin cannot undo the rulings of a previous basin unless he, the subsequent basin, is greater in wisdom and in numbers? So, what was Shmuel saying? Hochi ka'omar. Thusly, Shmuel was saying, "Eisher chayil yoiser mihillel avtaline." If I had the strength more than Hillel, in other words, the rule was that a subsequent court could undo if it's greater b'chochmu v'minyan. Well, if I was greater, if I led a court that represented something greater than Hillel in chochmu v'minyan, so I would cancel the pruzbul. So at this point, it appears that really Hillel made it l'dorei alma. He made the principal ruling for future generations, and Shmuel recognized that, and he said that the only way to undo such a ruling would be if he were greater b'chochma uv'minyan, and only then he would be able to undo it. V'Rav Nachman Omar Akayimeno. You see in the Meforshim that Rav Nachman is presented as being cholek on Shmuel, whereas Shmuel had a desire to see the abolition of the Prosbul, even though, technically speaking, it appears that he didn't undo it for reasons that we just saw. Nevertheless, Rav Nachman says, I will establish the Prosbul. I will maintain the Prosbul. The Gemara asks, Akaymen of Homekim Bekoi, what is Rav Nachman telling me I will establish it when it's already been established? It's a standing practice. Hochi Ko'omar, what Rav Nachman meant to say was as follows. Emo Be Milso, I would say something about Prosbul, a chidish, a novel point, the Afagav de Lo Kosev Ke Kosev Domi. Means, even if a Malva didn't actually write out a Prosbul, it would be considered as if he did so. We look at Rashi, Emo Be Milso, Oishiv Beisdin V'askin, I would set up a court and establish and legislate the Stam Malvin, you Kim Moisrin Shtarosen LeBeisdin, that your average, your rank and file creditor should be viewed as if he gave over his bills of collection to the court. V'afagav de lo kosav neve kemoi shekosav. And even if he didn't actually write a prosbul, it would be viewed as if he did so. Let's continue in the Gemara. Ibayalo hai ulbina. Now we saw above, we have arrows to the side of the Gemara text, you can see what we're referring to. We said above the word that prosbul is ulbina de daini. Here, the Gemara wants to know what is the meaning of that word. On the side of the Gemara, by the way, we have a topic heading. We mentioned 3 points. Ma'u pirusha she'ul b'na d'dayna, what was meant by that expression. And ma'alosa shel hane'elav, we'll see the Gemara praising those who hear their own disparagement, their own insult, and remain quiet. And mahu loshen prosbul, what is behind the word prosbul, what is the meaning of that word? So now the Gemara, ibayalo hai ulbina lishna de chutzpahu o lishna de nichusahu, is the language of the word ulbina an expression of something that is nichusa? And in order to appreciate this, we look at the Rashi, lishna de nichusa. Lo asu elu l'nachas hadinim. The prosbul was established for the benefit, for the comfort of the judges. Shelo yatrichu lahagvis milvisehem lifnei shvius. The prosbul enabled the judicial system to be more comfortable, to be relaxed, as opposed to being under great pressure to have loans paid up before the end of Shemitah. Shalotovu shvius v'tashmitel. The prosbul was established to create a sense of comfort for the courts, so that they wouldn't have to act with such pressure in trying to oversee the collection of loans before the end of Shemitah that would cancel them. Hilkoch i'aishir chayol avtalini. This is a reference back to Shmuel. And therefore Shmuel said, if I would have the strength, I would cancel it. The other possibility is Lishna de Chutzpah. And we explained that earlier, that it's a chutzpah on the part of the rabbis to declare money that's owned by the Lova to be then redefined as being owned by the Malva. The Gemara continues, Toshma, Diomar Ula, aluva kala shezinsa bekerev chupasa. It's an act of chutzpah for a bride under her marriage canopy, and it was at the point of her chuppah to go off and engage in forbidden intimacy, an act of znus, an act of harlotry, in the midst of her own wedding. The Rashi elaborates on this. Shezinsa bekerev chuppah. So what is being referred to here? The bride that is mizana in the midst of her chuppah. Bioid Shechina v'Yisrael b'Sinai, when the Jewish people and the divine presence were together at Mount Sinai, which in effect was the bonding of Klal Yisrael with the Almighty, Osu es ha'egel, they made the golden calf, Sharei lo nosu m'Sinai ad la'achara komas ha'mishkan b'shon ha'shniya. Rashi gives all the evidence, the scriptural proof that the golden calf took place while the Jews were still at Mount Sinai. So Ula uses the word aluva, like Shmuel's term ulbana the dini. The Gemara goes on, Omar Rav Mori Broda Bashmuel, my kra. What posuk indicates that we should describe a kala as that describe the Jewish people as a kala being mezana bechupas, as a bride practicing harlotry in the midst of her wedding? So the Gemara answers, Ad shehamelech b'mesiboi nerdi nosan recha. Posuk from Shir HaShirim. The mesibo, like the word mesiba, the party, the festivity of a wedding. So while the king is in his wedding, nerdi nosan recho, the pleasant smell was abandoned or dissipated. The pleasant smell waft away. That, of course, is a reference to the bride, the Klal Yisrael, practicing the Egel, the golden calf, the Egel Azov, right there at Mount Sinai. Omar Rova, Adayin Chavivusa Hu Gabon. And with all of that, the King, the Almighty, still has love for the Am Yisrael, for the Jewish people. Tichtiv, the Pasuk, in describing the golden calf from Shir HaShirim, it said, Nosan, Veloksiv hisriach. The pasuk described the pleasant smell, nosan recho. The pleasant smell departed, and it pasuk did not use the word hisriach, which has to do with something that's foul smelling, that's rotten. So the choice of words, nosan recho, as opposed to hisriach, shows that there's still a bond of affection between the King, the Almighty, and the Jewish people. Tonu Rabbonon, Hane'elovim ve'einon olvim. Here you see we're continuing with the drosha concerning the word ulbano aluva ne'elovim. It's a reference to, as we said before, those who suffer insults. They hear their own disparagement, and they ainon olvim, and they don't respond in kind. Shomin cherpos and vein meshivin. They hear their cherpa, their embarrassment, their disparagement, and don't respond. Oisin me'avo smechin b'yisurin. People who practice mitzvahs out of love for God, not to receive reward, as Rashi says, nor out of fear of punishment. Usmechin b'yisurin, and are able to rejoice to find happiness in the midst of suffering. Aleinu kosevoyme, regarding them, the pasuk says, "Ve'ahavov kitzeis hashemesh b'gvuraso." Those that love the Almighty are like the sun emerging in its great strength. My prusbol, Omar Rav Chisda, pros buli ubuti. Pros. Rashi spells the word with a zayin, pros, and hence we have the word prusbul with a zayin, but it's the same thing. A takona, a a special legislation or an enactment. Prus buli ubuti. Buli ubuti, Rashi, the Gemara explains at the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, buli elu ashirim. Ashirim are the wealthy. Dechtiv, v'shavarti as ga'ayin uzuchem v'toni Rav Yosef, the pasuk which describes in the Toichacha, I will break your strength, elu bulois shebehuda. That's a reference to the bulos, the wealthy of Judea. Buti elu aniyim. The word buti as a reference to the impoverished. Dechtiv, the pasuk says ha'avet ta'avitenu. This pasuk is exhorting the Jewish people to extend loans. Extend loans to whom? To those who need it. Who are those? Those are the poor. And Prusbul, therefore, is an enactment for the benefit of the wealthy. Those are the people who extend their loans, who have the capacity of extending loans so that they shouldn't lose their loan money. And it's a benefit for the impoverished, for enabling them to have a constant source of receiving loans, because as we explained earlier, otherwise those that have would hesitate, would not extend money, and the door of loans would be closed upon the poor. Omar le Rava Lilyaza, my principal, the Rava asked those who speak foreign tongues that don't speak Hebrew, what does Prusbul mean to you? And Omar Le, he answered, Pursa de Milsa. Prusbul indicates a takona, a special enactment. Rashi, on the third line from the top, says, Leloyaza, Sheinu medabe bloshen ivri, hu leoiza. Va'oisa shishal, rovli menu, zoisoye medabe bloshen Prusbul. Rava asked someone who used the term Prusbul as part of his language. Pirishlo shebilishonoi prose purso takona. The word prose indicates a special enactment. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.